Poet David White writes, "Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing. Close in, the step you don't want to take." It was January of 2018, and I had just received a life-threatening diagnosis only hours before I was to leave town for a retreat in a place where I would have no cell service. I was stunned, reeling. I couldn't call my folks and drop this on them over the phone, no less, and then vanish into the mountains for 3 days. And I couldn't reach my best friend, couldn't bear to leave it on her voicemail and then be unavailable to her. I was stuck with it, alone. So I did the only thing I could do. I walked out of my doctor's office, got in my car, and pointed it towards the retreat center. I didn't know what to think or how to handle it, didn't know the likely prognosis. I didn't know what I needed from anyone. I couldn't think of any way that anyone could possibly help. But at that retreat, I had a friend. Her name was Steph. We'd met there a few years prior and had hit it off immediately. She was friendly, welcoming, compassionate. I realized that she might be someone I could tell. So that first evening, feeling alone and frightened, I did. The news just burst out of me. She sat there with me late into the night as I teased out my thoughts, still too stunned by the news to even cry. She listened while I worked my way through this new territory in which I found myself. Sometimes she asked questions. Sometimes she just sat with me in the silence. I knew there was nothing she could do about my diagnosis, and she knew that too. But what I could do was share my burden, and what she could do was hold space for me, listen, let me sort out how I felt about it all, out loud and without fear of judgment. She says now that she did nothing, but it was everything to me, this companioning. She was there, heart wide open, close in, and I was no longer alone. Somehow, it was everything. I couldn't have planned it this way, but it turned out that Steph was also able to help me in a practical way, too, not just in this first step, close in way. Here's how it unfolded. Steph had a lifelong friend who was a specialist in the disorder that I'd been diagnosed with. He lived across the country, but she arranged for us to be able to speak by phone. She sat with me a few days later as I dialed his number, and for the next hour, as he talked reassuringly through my speakerphone about prognosis and treatment and hope, she typed furiously into a document all his answers to all my questions. I didn't have to expend that energy trying to catch and process and remember everything he said amidst all my swirling thoughts, because she was right there recording it all for me. It would all be there after we hung up, waiting for whenever I might have the time and the headspace to process it all. It was the most practical help I think I've ever received. And the funny thing is, I would never have known in advance that that was even what I needed. You know, practical help is not always possible. Even when it is possible, it can be tricky, hard to discern, hard to ask for, sometimes even hard to offer. We fear getting it wrong. Will I give offense if I offer this help? Will I overstep if I ask for too much? Will my help be too little to matter, or worse, unhelpful or awkward? When it is possible and it works out, practical help is a considerable gift. The aggrieved person, the one Gretchen spoke of last week in the center of those rings, receives real assistance, maybe a solution to a problem, or processing of the laundry, or an hour or two free of caretaking so they can run errands or sleep or just sit quietly. And the helping person gets something too, the pleasure of connecting with a friend in a meaningful way, the small degree of control in the chaos that is always beyond our control, and the joy that comes with having been of service. In my case, the practical help that Steph was able to give me was a considerable gift, But that practical help was only possible after the close-in help of that first evening, the listening, the just being there, the holding of space, the sharing of this impossible burden that I suddenly found myself holding. And even that had only been possible after I'd taken the first step of asking for help. This work happens close in, as David White says, where one person can speak and be vulnerable and be heard, and another person can take it in, hold it in their heart, and at best offer practical help and at least show us that we are not ever alone. That vulnerability is always the first step, that critical first step that we hardly ever really want to take, but that has to be taken for us to find out whether practical help is even possible. Steph may never need that kind of close-in work from me. I may never have the chance to return the gift in the same way that she first gave it to me. When her time comes to need it, it may not be me that she turns to. But she can if she wants, because she will know that I have known struggle and doubt and fear and shame. And maybe that will allow her to be unafraid to share hers with me when and if she chooses. Because I've found that when someone shares their struggle with me and gives me the chance to show up for them and do that close-in work, they add themselves to my list of possible outlets too. They become someone I know I can share my struggles with, someone I can ask for help. Which means it turns out that this asking for the gift of help is a gift in itself. None of us is living a life in which anger, loss, and pain has passed them over. There is no one here who does not know loneliness or fear or shame or doubt. It is the hiding of these things that makes us feel alone in them. Building beloved community requires that we bring these fears, these doubts, this shame out of the darkness and into the light, where they lose their power in the face of help. This is where the close-in work, the vulnerability, the holding space, the being present can happen. This is where we can show up and maybe provide help, not at arm's length, but close in. May it be so, and amen.